We're holding the second chapter in Brachot, the first Mishnah. Yaakov Torah. Let's say a person was reading in the Torah. And it came time to read Kriyat Shema. So he's a diligent fellow. He's up from way early in the morning. He's learning. He gets the Parsha of Vayeschanan where it says the Parsha of Shema. And he looks at his clock and says, ooh, it's time to read Kriyat Shema. And that's exactly where I'm holding in my learning. So Imki Ben Nibo, if he had in mind to perform the biblical mitzvah of Kriyat Shema Yatzah, then he fulfilled the mitzvah, even though it was part of his general Torah reading. V'imnav, and if he was just reading and he didn't have mind to perform the biblical mitzvah, lo yatza, he has not fulfilled the biblical mitzvah. Even though he read the parsha of Shema, but he didn't have mind to perform the mitzvah. And here we see the rule that mitzvot tzichot kavana. When we're performing a biblical mitzvah for sure, we must have intent that we're performing a mitzvah. And the rabbinic mitzvah also, we should have in mind that we're performing a mitzvah.
Where are you right now?
In the middle of the first Mishnah, the second chapter. We just began the second chapter of Brachot. So this means that if a parent sends us shopping, we should have in mind, I'm doing the biblical mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. If I'm washing the dishes after the meal, so again, we should have in mind, we're performing the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Any mitzvah a person performs, you should have in mind, I'm performing this mitzvah. That's why the Hasidim instituted the Shem Yichud, to have in mind. I'm doing this for the sake of... they added all kinds of Kabbalistic notations, but the idea of I'm doing this for the sake of a mitzvah that everyone agrees you should do. Baprakim, when it comes to the separations between chapter and chapter, we know Shema is made up of... First one segment from Parshas Vayeschanan, then another segment from our Parsha, Parshas Ekev, and then the third Parsha of Parshas Vayomer from Parshas Shlach Lecha. What happens if someone's in the middle of reading Shema, and suddenly someone comes over and starts talking to him? So the Mishnah is going to discern between someone who you must honor and someone who you must fear. Who must you honor? So you must honor your parents, you must honor your rabbi, you must honor a wealthy person. If there's a wealthy person in the community, you owe him a certain element of honor. So the Mishnah says like this. We have two opinions in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Baprakim, when one is in between chapters, so really that's a more natural pause in between chapters. He's finished one chapter from the Torah, from Shema, and he's about to start the next chapter. So then we say, Shoel, if you meet up someone who you have to honor, Rabbi Meir says you may even greet him. He's expecting you to greet him. Your grandfather walks into the room. So you owe him honor like you owe an old man honor. You don't owe him honor like your parents. You owe him honor in a lesser form. Your father-in-law walks into the room. So you owe him honor, but not at the same level as your parents. So during the pauses between chapters, Shoel, you could ask someone, good morning, how are you? Mipnei HaKavod. Because it's someone you have to honor. Umeshiv, and obviously if he asks you, you could answer him, because that's greater disrespect. If he tells you, good morning, how are you, and you don't answer him, that's more disrespect. Uveemtza, but in the middle of the chapter, Shoel Mipnei Yira. You may only greet someone who you're scared of. You have to fear your parents. You have to fear your Rebbe. Umeshiv. What? Yeah. Umeshiv, and one may also respond, obviously, if one of these people greet him. Divrei Rabbi Meir, this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's different. Baimtza, when you're in the middle of a chapter, Shoel, then you can greet someone, Mipnei Yira, because you fear him. Umeshiv, and if someone greets you, you could respond to him, even if it's just someone that you have to honor, Mipnei Kavod. Baprakim, in between chapters, so then, to stop and greet someone, Shoel Mipnei HaKavod. You can only greet someone who you have to honor, and obviously if you have to fear. Umeshiv Shalom L'chol Adam. But respond, you could respond to any person. Any person that greets you, tells you good morning, you could respond to. Now we say that this halacha changed. Once upon a time, people wouldn't understand. If you're in the middle of davening or saying Kriyat Shema, specifically Kriyat Shema. This is only relevant for Kriyat Shema. So once upon a time, if they would greet you or you wouldn't greet them, they didn't understand. Today, people see you with tefillin on, they see you with the talis, they don't expect you to talk. this isn't relevant today, because today no one's going to get offended. They beat your parents, beat your Rebbe if you don't respond to them. If a person is in a scenario where they would get offended, so okay, so he has the salacha to rely on.
Say for some were about tshuva, it's the heaven. If you, like, I found myself praying at my mother's house. People all around, someone says something to me, I'll be in the middle of something. So in general, it's true, but I think especially for anyone who's about tshuva, it might be something important to learn.
Yeah, right. I was once in the airport. I had washed to eat hamotzi, to eat bread, and the woman who it seemed was non-religious. As I'm going to make the hamotzi on the bread, just before I make the blessing, she asked me, what's the time? So now, I'm not supposed to talk from the time I wash to the time I make hamotzi, but there are two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, and it's a stringency, and there's room to be lenient. So I answered her. I told her the time, and then I made the hamotzi. Even though ordinarily, I'm an Ashkenazi, we don't talk between the washing and the hamotzi. But in this instance, I felt it would be a big chil Hashem if I don't. The following are the times that are considered between chapters.
So now we're holding the present day has changed, but still.
Elu en ben aprakim. The following are the places that are considered between chapters. Ben bracha yishonai shniya. Between the first blessing and the second blessing, right? We said there's the first blessing of Shema Yotzor, and the second blessing, Ahava Rabba, ben shniya l'shma, between the second blessing and Shema. Uven Shema l'vayayam Shemoah, between the first parsha of Shema to the second parsha of Vayayam Shemoah. Ben Vayayam Shemoah l'vayomer, between Vayayam Shemoah to Vayomer, ben Vayomer l'emet v'yatsiv, between Vayomer and the Met v'yatsiv. Now, the parsha of Vayomer really ends, Ani Hashem Elokechem. We take the first word from the next section of the prayer. The next section of the prayer is going to be Yemet v'yatziv v'nachon v'kayam, etc. So we don't want to say God's name and have a pause between God's name and Emet. We know that God's signature is Emet. Our sages tell us that once upon a time the sages found a note, and the note was signed Emet, and they came to the conclusion that this note came down from heaven, and that was God's signature, Emet. So the sages instituted that in Shema, when we read Shema, we take the first word of the next blessing, and we say, Ani Hashem Elokechem, and we add that Emet, because we don't want to pause between Hashem's name and Emet. So, the first opinion of the Mishnah says that the break in between Vayomer and Emet V'yatziv is equivalent to all the other breaks. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ben Vayomer L'Emet V'yatziv Lo Yafsik. Rabbi Yehuda says, between Vayomer and Emet, meaning between Ani Hashem Elokechem, saying God's name, and the word Emet, we don't want to pause. So he says that we treat that as though it were the middle of the fire show. We don't treat it like a regular pause between Parshiot. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha said the following. Who's Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha? So it seems that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha was Rabbi Akiva's son. And after the Romans started chasing Rabbi Akiva, they put a ransom on his head. And they didn't chase too much. They took him in and they wanted to kill him. So they wanted to hide who his son was. So they didn't call Rabbi Yeshua ben Akiva, but they called him Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, because the Gemara says in one place that the Tanam were sitting together and learning, and one Tana said, halachically, I carry more weight. I have a better tradition. I've learned more than everyone here. I could take anyone on and win, but that bald one, chutz ma'kereach hazeh. He was referring to Rabbi Akiva. And from there we see Rabbi Akiva was bald. He was called, his friends used to call him the bald one. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua, who was his son, when they wanted to hide his identity, they called him Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Rabbi Yeshua, the son of the bald one. And everyone knew that's Rabbi Yeshua, the son of Rabbi Akiva. So our Mishnah says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says the following, Lama kadma shma li v'ayayim shema. Why is it our sages instituted three parshiot in Shema? The Torah says we have to read Shema and Vayom Shemoah and Vayomer. And our sages instituted that the ordering of those three parshiot, Shema would come first, then Vayom Shemoah, and then Vayomer. So why is that? Explains Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha, Ela kedei shekabel lavol malchut shemayim, because in the parsha of Shema, what are we saying? We're accepting the yoke of heaven. We say, Hashem is the God of the world. He's running the show. Hashem is one. That's what we're saying in Shema. So we're accepting the yoke of heaven. So that has to come first. V'achar kach yekabel lavon mitzvot. We say tchila first, the person should accept the yoke of heaven. Afterwards, he accepts the yoke that he has to perform mitzvot. If there's a God in the world, he told us to do something, we have to perform his mitzvot. So that's why the parsha of Shema focuses on God's running the show, and therefore we have to do what he says. And then V'ayam Shema says, if we perform the mitzvot, God will do good to us, and if not, then, well, we could infer. So therefore, before we discuss keeping the mitzvot, we first discuss God running the show, and then we focus on the performance of mitzvos. V'ayam Shema leVayomer. Why does the parsha of Shema precede the parsha of Vayomer? Shevayam Shema neg v'yom v'layla, because the parsha of V'ayam Shema discusses mitzvos that are applicable by day and by night. V'yomer no noeg ela v'yom. The parsha of V'yomer discusses the mitzvah of tzitzit, which is only applicable regarding the day, either because we only have a mitzvah to wear tzitzit by day, or because we only have a mitzvah to wear tzitzit on garments that are worn by day. We discussed that there are two understandings regarding the mitzvah of tzitzit. Is it that by day, any four-cornered garment, even pajamas that have four corners, require tzitzit? And the only thing that decides whether you have to wear tzitzit or not is whether it's during the daylight hours or not. But what type of garment is irrelevant? Or the other opinion says that it doesn't matter whether you're wearing the garment by day or by night. What decides whether you're obligated to put tzitzit on that garment is whether it's a garment that's worn by day or by night. And therefore, pajamas that are worn by night wouldn't require tzitzit. So I have a question for all of you. I haven't been in all of your bedrooms, but as far as I know, none of you have tzitzit on your blankets. Now, they all have four corners, so we'll leave you pondering that one. And don't put tzitzit in your blankets, but think about it. Yeah.
It's not a garment.
Could you wear it?
It's not a garment. Okay.
I don't walk around with my blanket wrapped around me most of the time.
I just didn't hear you always walk around with a blanket on.
I don't know if you have to walk around in front of
Yeah, but I'll ask you a different question. Do you wear a towel wrapped around your waist when you come out of the shower? Towel also has four corners. You're laughing. The Gemara says there was a time that they used to put tzitziot on their towels.
But does it matter that the shower room is like, mildewy and all that?
No, you wear a tzitzit to the bathroom. So we're not learning the laws of tzitzit. You could refer to the web. We have a whole class, two classes, I think, on tzitzit. Yeah. Maybe we'll get it. Yeah.
In the third paragraph, though, it also talks about remembering Exodus from Egypt.
Right.
That was commanded to remember day and night, as we learned last time.
That's why we said it discusses that. The first parasha also discusses mitzvot. And we said Shema is accepting God's yoke, and Vayah is that. So the question is very good. But we're saying that the main focus of the parasha is the mitzvah of tzitzis. As an offshoot of tzitzit, we're saying so that you remember that Hashem took you out of heaven, and that applies day and night. Okay, so we did two Mishneot. Let's go over to Anachar.